This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
One of the longest-running traditions of the Book in the Spade radio program is our annual review at the beginning of each year of the upcoming institutional excavations in Israel. I did this with my former co-host, Professor Scoville, for many years. This year, when we mark the 40-year anniversary of the Book in the Spade radio program with Professor Scott Stripling, I invited him to go down the list with me and give us his perspective on what was being planned for biblical archaeology in 2023. We have a list that we got from the Biblical Archaeology Review. They publish a list every year. Mentioning them gives our listeners a good idea of what's happening in biblical archaeology. And one of the major sites, I think, that's going on right now is at Azekah. The team at Tel Azekah has completed 10 seasons. They've got 12 areas of excavation. And this is a site that was referenced by Sennacherib, king of Assyria, described it as the eagle's nest with towers that project to the sky like swords. Is this an important excavation?
Sure it is. I visited 2 years ago. Eli Shukron and I went and visited the site. Oded Lipschitz is directing the excavation there. So a lot of people know this from David and Goliath. You know, it ties right in. You've got the most famous of all the Lachish letters. Letter three has the famous line, "The fires of Azekah burn no more." And so just understanding Azekah and the levels that they're in really help us understand 7th, 8th, 9th century BC, which is a critical time period.
Another site in Jordan, Abila of the Decapolis. This is a site that Dr. Scoville and I talked about a number of times. It's been going on for decades. And this is a Byzantine city. They've uncovered a number of Byzantine churches, and they're working in the Bronze and Iron Age strata.
Well, right. I wish we had Decapolis remains. I think they've got to get underneath those churches perhaps to get to those Decapolis period remains, but it's a very large site, lots to see there.
Caesarea Maritima apparently has an excavation that's going on next July, shedding new light on cultural layering and the evolution of the city from the classical epoch to the Islamic era. This is a site, I think, that's one of the favorites of groups that go to Israel because there's so much to see. And my understanding is this may be like the third most visited site after Jerusalem and Masada.
It's amazing. I'll tell you what I want to see. They're beating around the bush in their description there. The point is there's a temple of Augustus that's being excavated. That's what matters. It's being excavated right now. And so when you picture what Caesarea Maritima was and is, the theater and the Pontius Pilate, Tiberius inscription and all of that, add to that a temple of Augustus and then picture Herod having his palace there. And now you can get a really good idea of what was going on and why the great revolt started at Caesarea, you know, all that paganism and all that that represents. And of course, Jesus was born under Augustus.
El Araj, a site along the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's one of the two sites that are vying for identification as Bethsaida. Have you been there recently?
Not since they've made the progress that they made. I was there before they even broke ground, and I knew that it was a candidate site. I've always liked it as a possible location. I grew up in a fishing village, you know, right on the water in Port Isabel, 50 feet from the water. So I always struggled with the idea of being 2 miles off the water, but it could be that you had Greater Bethsaida and Lower Bethsaida or something like that. They have a really interesting Byzantine church. I spoke to Steve Notley recently about this. And of course, Mordecai Aviam is the archaeological director. And I told him, I want to see your pottery. And so hopefully I will be able to see that soon. And then we'll know exactly what they've got.
Last year, they made the discovery of a dedicatory inscription in that church that confirmed its identification as a church of Peter and Andrew, that apostles Peter and Andrew, that was known from writings.
What that tells us is that there was a Byzantine tradition that it was. So now we'll see through archaeology if we can confirm that.
Hippo Sassita, a Decapolis city overlooking the Sea of Galilee.
Oh, that's such a beautiful site that nobody knows about. There's no admission charge to get in there. You just go up on the northeast side there and wind your way up. It looks like a saddle, Sassita, you know, it's a horse. So Hippos is horse in Greek, Sassita in Aramaic. And yeah, wind your way up there. And there's a Decapolis side. It overlooks the Sea of Galilee. Michael Eisenberg is directing the dig there. And as you walk down the Cardo, you may be the only one there because it's not mentioned, visited by many people, but you'll see these game boards from the first century that are etched in the pavement where you can just see they were sitting around playing games in the street, and just an amazing sight. Love that sight.
We were there on our last tour a year ago. It's wonderful to see what's going on there. They've excavated 7 Byzantine churches, I believe. I've been following the excavation on Facebook. They've been doing a lot of work in the necropolis, excavating tombs.
I remember a famous mask a few years ago, the Mask of Pan, I think it was.
So exciting things are happening at Hippos. Jerusalem's Ophel Hill, renewed excavations of the Hebrew University on the eastern part of the Ophel Hill. And as I was looking at this, I saw a picture of a mikveh that I hadn't seen before, a very impressive looking mikveh in the Ophel area. I didn't realize it was there.
Yeah, it's massive. They are continuing under Garfinkel now with Elat Mazar's untimely death. Garfinkel agreed to help finish that work. Of course, the Armstrong Institute is still partnering with them and bringing that all to fruition. Very important work in the Ophel, and they're doing a great job.
If you're just tuning in, we're running down some of the most interesting upcoming biblical archaeology excavations planned in Israel this year with our archaeological guest, Scott Stripling. Another interesting excavation is just east of Megiddo, Legio. This is a Roman legion base. The last time we were there, we stood on the tell at Megiddo and looked down towards Megiddo Junction, a couple miles away, and everything between was a Roman legion base, that entire area. It's fascinating.
It's so fascinating. And of course, there was a prison. they were expanding the prison, and business is booming, apparently. And uncovered these remains and the remains of what may be the earliest Christian church structure yet found, maybe even older than Dora Europa's. If you're wanting to understand the classical period, there's a lot there to see.
Talking to Matt Adams a year ago, he says that church is not going to be available anytime soon, but at some point, maybe we'll be able to have a chance to see it.
Yeah, it's a house church. It's probably the stage before the basilica. For those who study ecclesiology, it's super important.
There's a couple of Jewish villages that are being excavated, Majdulia in the Golan, and then Shekin, which is near Sepphoris, just over the hill from Nazareth.
Lamp production facility there at Shekin. Those of us who study lamps, what we want to know, for example, is because Sepphoris continued on with using stone vessels and mikvot after the revolt, when most sites did not. And maybe that's because they acquiesced and they weren't destroyed, or it became the seat of the Sanhedrin. But anyway, we look at types of lamps. Did this lamp continue between the first revolt and the second revolt as a way to help us date those critical strata? And so I've got my eye on those lamps at Shekin.
Tell Abel Beth Ma'aka up on the border between Israel and Lebanon. That's a very important excavation.
So, so beautiful up there, sort of in the Hula Valley. Bob Mullins, Nava Panitz Cohen, and I'm leaving someone out, but I've got great leadership on that dig. My dear friend Carol Cobes is part of it too. Yeah, I love that dig. They got the head of that figure that dates to the time of David.
It might be a king.
Yeah. So yeah, it's really, really great sight.
There have been a number of excavations in the Shifala area recently, and Tel Berna may be one of the more important ones there.
Tel Berna is a big dig. Yitzhak Shai, and then he's got several co-directors, Steve Ortiz and several others. Chris McKinney's one of the leaders in the dig. They are uncovering really significant LB2 remains there. And so for those of us who are really interested in LB pottery, it's a great place to go. I've seen their storage jars. There's just like dozens of massive storage jars from that time period, and doing a great job there.
We just got a few minutes left. One of the sites I want to mention is Tel Hatzor. It's been under excavation for most of the time that we've done the Book and the Spade program. And I remember 30 years ago, Amnon Ben-Tor told me, I know there's an archive at Hatzor. We have letters from other sites, that talk about Hatzor. But they still haven't found it.
There's one cuneiform fragment that Orna Cohen found just on the surface. You know, I agree with Ben Torr. There has to be an archive there. This will be his last season, I believe, in the field. He's now 85, 86. And I think that's what's been keeping him going, is wanting to find that archive. It really was the head of all those kingdoms.
Yeah. There's two excavations at Tel Lachish, an Austrian expedition and the Hebrew University. This is a very important site. Actually, it's probably the second most important city outside of Jerusalem in ancient Judah.
Yeah, I think you've got the Austrian expedition and then a Hebrew U expedition going on there. I think there's probably more inscriptions that have come out of Lachish than anywhere else. To understand Lachish, and you have unfettered access. Jerusalem, you have modernity, you have urban sprawl to fight, but Lachish you don't. So I think by extension, it's a microcosm. If we can understand what's going on in Lachish, that helps us understand Jerusalem.
That's where the ivory comb alphabetic inscription came from that was discovered.
Yeah, the big find recently.
Year.
And, you know, our dear friend James Starkey back in the 20s or 30s.
I think
32, I believe it was. He's the one who pioneered the wet sifting there at Lachish. Yeah. I mean, he was a brilliant man, and his murder was just, in the day, that was as big of a scandal as there was. Yes.
We want to mention one more site, Tel Shimron. This is on the other side of the Jezreel Valley from Megiddo. The Museum of the Bible is involved with this, and a number of other schools. They've just spent a few seasons there. They're going to be digging a Canaanite Acropolis, Israelite fortifications, a Hellenistic villa, and a Roman neighborhood.
Outside of that, not much to do, right? I haven't been to Tel Shimron yet, but it's on my hit list.
Well, that's a good, exciting preview of what's to come in 2023. And of course, there's all kinds of salvage excavations. Also, who knows what's going to turn up there. That's about all the time we have for our program today. We have a lot of exciting discoveries to look forward to on this program. I hope that I can keep making the Book and Spade even better to report on that. I'd like to thank everyone who tuned in today. And thank you, Scott, for being a part of Book and a Spade today and a number of times in the past. And we will continue, I think, to consult with you in the future. For those who are not regular listeners, you can find out more about our radio program, our Biblical Archaeology News Magazine Artifacts, our Biblical Archaeology Holy Land Tours, and other resources at radioscribe.com. That's our website, radioscribe.com. The Bible is the cornerstone of our culture and Western civilization, and my hope is that we're helping people understand the Bible better by sharing these weekly backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology, the only source of new facts about the Bible and the biblical world. So, Scott, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gordon. And on behalf of all your viewers, all your friends, all your listeners, congratulations on 40 years.
Thank you, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
All right. That's how we ended our landmark first live broadcast of the Book and a Spade program, presented as a webinar on February 15th, 2023, celebrating the 40-year anniversary of this radio program. Scott Stripling, our distinguished archaeological guest, is provost of the Bible Seminary in Katy, Texas, as well as the newly elected president of the Near East Archaeological Society and director of excavations at Tel Shiloh for the Associates for Biblical Research. Once again, our website with more biblical archaeology resources is radioscribe.com. Coming soon, we'll be announcing details of our next Israel trip, where we visit many of the archaeological sites we discuss on this program. I'm Gordon Govier. Join us again next time for more backgrounders on the Bible through biblical archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on biblical archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.